everyone. I feel like it's on my heart here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Exodus chapter 15, starting at verse number 23. Exodus 15 to 23. Bible reads like this. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. I got started in on this last Sunday. Amen. So just a quick refresher here. Amen. Our Savior can take the bitter experiences of life and make them sweet, can't he?
Right.
Hallelujah. God's got a way of taking bitter waters and making them sweet. Hallelujah. I was thinking Sister Diane back here was telling me about losing her mom when she was so young. Amen. I tell you, people go through hard things in this life, but somehow, some way, time and God has a way of turning, amen, the tide and making life sweet again. Hallelujah. Amen. The first thing, refresher, then I got a few other points, and I want to call us to an altar here. Amen. Such experiences are a part of God's plan in our life. Did you know that?
Right, man.
Amen. Believe it or not, bitter experiences, troubles, trials, hardship in life, amen, is, and I'm not always saying, as Brother Tommy said, sometimes people go through sicknesses, they go through have maybe cancers and heart attacks and strokes and diseases, and automatically we say it's the devil. Amen. They've sinned against God and trouble has come upon them. That's not always the case.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
Amen. Proverbs 14 and 10 says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness." Amen. Life, praise God, is never easy. When you're experiencing trouble, just look around. Somebody's probably worse off than you are. Amen. I never forget, I was at St. Mary's one time. I've told this a time or two. Some of you may remember. I was having a very hard time. Can't remember exactly what I was down about. I was really down in the mully grubs, Brother Earl, and I just thought all of life, amen, had taken a turn, and I was down on life, amen.
Yeah.
And I was moaning and groaning and just thought I had it hard, Brother Tommy. Let me tell you something, in a hospital, you don't have to look very far to find somebody worse off than you. Amen. I'll never forget it. I left off the floor. We get a little 15-minute break earlier in the shift and a 30-minute break later. I think I was on my little 15-minute break. And a lot of times I go out behind the hospital and just get my mind clear. Amen. And here I was. Oh, me. Oh, my God. Why am I going through all of this? And I look coming down that hallway, Brother Earl, and there's a guy in a wheelchair. Amen. He didn't have no legs. I mean, he barely even had his stuff. He was just really nothing below his torso, really. And here he was wheeling down that hallway with a pair of them cut-off gloves on. Amen. He had arms, but he had no legs. And that guy had a big smile on his face, and he was wheeling down that hallway with the biggest old smile you'd ever seen. I tell you, I felt horrible. Amen. And I thought to myself, oh, God, how could I be, amen, so down and so out when I'm way better off than this guy is? Hallelujah. Amen. Trouble, praise God. Hardships and trials will get us to where we need to be, will it not?
Right.
Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, amen, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation, amen, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Hey, I come to tell us there's no temptation, there's no trial, there's no hardship, amen, that God can't help us through. Amen. What happened to Israel was not by accident. Amen. Brother Tommy read to us Psalms 107 and 7 says, he led them forth by the right way. Amen. Marah was God's choice for Israel. So there must be a purpose and there must be meaning. Amen. Nothing is without purpose in the plan of God. Amen. Moses told Israel, thou shalt, this is in Deuteronomy 8 and 2, you're to go back and read this. There's nothing, amen, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Amen. The Bible said God took you this way, amen, to get you where I wanted you to be. Let me tell you something, life has a way, amen, of molding us, sculpting us to be the individual that God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has a way? Amen. Oh, yes. There's a great difference between battle-tested veterans and just green troops. Oh, yeah. Amen. You can go ask any commander that. God's purpose is never personal distress. Listen to this. This helped me when I looked at this. God's purpose is never to stress us out, but he loves us too much for that. His purpose is growth and development. Amen. You can't get them soldiers to where they need to be without a little bit of growth. Amen. Without a little bit of trouble. Without a little bit of distress. But it's not God's purpose to distress. It's not God's purpose to stress you out. It's God's purpose to grow you. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to get to where I need to be here in just a minute. But Oliver Wendell Holmes said, listen to this, the greatest gift that life could give a man is the sense of having held on, amen, all alone in the dark, praise God. When you can come out of that place, I tell you what, you'll never be the same. When you can hang on in the dark hour, when you can hang on when it looks like that you couldn't hang on. Yes. Thank God I can hang on. Well, there's a quick recap of last week. But my second point, I've got to move on here. Amen. Thank God. There is a peril, amen, that we must avoid. In the bitter place, amen, in the bitter waters of Marah, there is a tendency, listen to this, to react immediately in an unfortunate way. To murmur, amen. To gripe, praise God. Israel gripe and complained in Moses. The leader, amen, was a convenient target. Oh, yeah, listen, I don't know whether animals grumble and gripe or not, but I know people does. And Moses was the convenient target, amen. God had used Moses to lead them up out of the land of Egypt. You know the story, here they come up out of there, amen, but here they were at this particular place, amen, at the banks of Marah. God, this was a bitter place. They were thirsty. They were needing water. But at this place, the waters were bitter. They were undrinkable. They were unsurpassable. It was a terrible place to be in. But I want you to notice this. God had just led them. Look at the chapter previously. God had just led them across the mighty Red Sea. Remember that? Amen. God had took them across with a high and a lifted up hand. Here we got Miriam, Moses' sister, amen, rallying the troops, leading the choir, tambourines ringing, great God, they was shouting, they was having a big time, amen, everything was going great until they hit the bitter waters, amen. Isn't that just like life, amen, somehow, some way, got a way of knocking the sap right out of you, amen, somehow life has a way of zapping, amen, that electricity right out of you. Amen. Look at this. Here they were rejoicing. Here they were shouting. Here they were having a big time. But now, amen, life had took them to Marah. Life had took them to the bitter place. Amen. God. It's so fast and so quick that we turn from shouting to murmuring. Amen. We turn from, amen, the grace and the glory of God to the place. God, why did you bring me here? Amen. Why did you bring me to these bitter waters? Why did you take me to this place? God, I'd rather be shouting. I'd rather be singing. I'd rather be having a good time. But here I am at Marah. Hallelujah. Woo, this word, murmur, is made up of two sounds. Oh, yeah. I know it's simple here. Murmur. Amen. So when we murmur, instead of trusting God, you know what we do? We start behaving like babies. Yeah. We turn, amen, from minstrels to mutineers. We turn from joyful and praising to griping and grumbling. glory. Amen. This previous scene. Here we got Miriam and Moses up on the high place. But at the banks of Marah, amen, they're at the low place. Great God. Now the same crowd was murmuring. Amen. I don't know about you. That's what a baby does. A baby murmurs, but it don't get its way. You ever been around a baby? If they're hungry, Sister Dottie, they don't say, "I'm hungry, Mom. Give me something to eat."
Yeah, come on, bro. Yeah.
Some of you guys are about the same way. Woo! That's what us guys are. When we get hungry, we start murmuring. We start, our belly starts aching, and we say, "Where's my food?" Amen. Well, that's the way these people were. Amen. They went from rejoicing to murmuring. Amen. Just like an old baby whining, trying to get its way. Great God. But Paul mentioned this in one of his sermons recorded in the book of Acts. He says that the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out. And about the time of 40 years, Acts 13, 17 through 18, amen, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. They had bad manners. So often the people acted spoiled. Amen. Like baby, like children. It is unbelief that makes us this way. Listen to me. Amen. We look at the situation instead of looking at the Savior. We look at the symptom, amen, instead of looking at the Savior. We look, amen, thank God, at everything around us instead of Jesus. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. God never undertakes what he cannot finish. Did you hear that, Israel? God brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Amen. You might have to go through the banks of Marah. You might have to come through a hard place. But if God said, "I'm taking you, amen, to the promised land," God's going to do just that. Hey, I just preached the other night here, and then I preached up in Richlands. I felt like preaching that. Brother Tommy got on it some this morning. I preached about old Paul shaking it off. Amen. But you know what happened? He had to come through that storm, the Herculadon. He had to come through that hard place. Amen. God said, "Paul, you're going to go to Rome." Amen. There might be a Herculadon to come through. But guess what? If God said you're going to Rome, every Herculadon, every storm, every hardship, it won't stop you, Paul. You're going to Rome. And I come to tell us there's a peril that we must avoid. Amen. We're on that life that Christians spoke about in the Pilgrim's Progress. We're on our way to view the land. We're on our way to heaven's bright shore. But if you don't watch out, you'll get caught in the banks of Marah. You'll get caught murmuring and griping and complaining and get left behind. Amen. Woo! There's not much worse than grumbling and griping all the time, especially when we never get what we want. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said in retrospect of Abraham that Abraham's faith in God was being fully persuaded. And what he had promised, he was able to perform. That conviction takes, amen, baby, and murmuring out of you. That is the dimension of a real man of God. That is the real dimension of a good woman of God. That is a real dimension of a good young Christian. When you make your mind up, "I'm going to make it." Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Mister, sister, brother, amen, the ship will not sink as long as the Son of God is in that ship. Hey, I said, you ain't going down. You ain't going under. Quit murmuring and griping and enjoy the journey.
Yes.
I don't know why Wes has got it in his mind. He wants to be the biggest, amen, fellow in the world. He said, "Dad," he said, "I'm going to be bigger than you." I said, "You probably will be." And now he's got his eyes on Brother George because he's bigger than me. I guess Brother George is the biggest guy in
cross down the church. He said, Dad, I'm going to be bigger than Brother George. I said, all right. Amen. But here's what I'm trying to get on to about. And I guess a lot of people have been here, especially young boys, I don't know why, they get in a hurry to grow up.
Yeah.
Amen. They get in a hurry. I remember when I was young, I couldn't wait till I got up and got old enough to work. Amen. Boy, I wanted to work, and I started young. I guess I started working about 12, 13 years old, and I worked a lot ever since that age. Amen. I spent my youth waiting to get old to work, and now that I'm old, I wish I could go back to being young and not work no more. Come on now. Isn't that way life has a way of turning the tide? And I told Weston the other day, I said, slow it down. I know you want to be strong. Hudson held his arm up last night. I've laughed all day. Hudson held his arm up, and he does got a big pump knot when he holds his muscle up. Now, boys, he said, Dad, look. He said, look what a thing. It's funny, comment. Look what a big old thing, he said. Amen. He said, baby, he ain't got nothing. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, I got to slow him down. And I said, hey, boys, be a kid. Be a young boy. Enjoy riding the bike. Amen. Enjoy walking up the hills and shooting a squirrel. Just slow down and enjoy the journey. I feel like some of us, that's the way we are. We can't wait till we get to the end. There's a journey between here and the end, and God intends for us to enjoy the journey. Did you hear that? God wants us to enjoy the journey. I believe God's got a place for this church in mind. But if I don't watch out, amen, I'll be blind to the journey. I believe God's got great things in the store. I believe God, amen, is going to raise up a holiness generation in Huntington, West Virginia. But I don't want to get caught up murmuring and dropping on the journey. Hang on. There's joy in the journey. Hang on. It's fun getting to where you need to be if you'll get your eyes off of murmuring.
Wow.
Well,
thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory, glory.
All right. Thank you,
Lord. That's a peril that we must avoid. Thirdly, no one ain't going to hold you long. There is a right way to handle bitter experiences.
Yeah.
Listen, I wish I could stand here and tell you that life ain't never going to do you bad. I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I wish I could tell you you ain't never going to lose a loved one. I wish I could tell you, amen, that you'll never lose a family member. I wish I could stand here and tell you you'll never be a sick a day in your life. I wish I could tell you, Brother Tommy, that low back will never hurt. I wish I could tell you, Brother Earl, sugar's going to go away and never come again. Hey, I wish I could tell you life's going to be peachy from here on in. But great God, I can't tell you that. Amen. God never promised we'd never have hardship. God never promised that we'd never go through the battle. But God did promise. Amen. Paul said, God, take this thorn away. I'm tired of the thorn. I'm tired of the trouble. I'm tired of the sacrifice. God said, Paul, I'm not taking it away, but I'll give you strength to make it through. And that's what I come to tell us here today. You might suffer. You might be sick. You might have trouble. But thank God, God will be greater.
Woo!
Woo!
Yes, God.
Man.
Yes.
Lord.
How am I going to deal with bitterness, Brother Jason?
Yes, Lord.
I'm glad you asked. Give me a few minutes. But first and the foremost way you got to deal with bitterness is as soon as it comes on you, you better pray.
Yes.
Listen to me. Here's my message. Find God. Find him quick.
Right.
That's what Moses did. He didn't fuss with the public. He went straight to God. Amen. Moses, they come dropping to Moses. Moses, here we are. Amen. We're at Marah. We're at the bitter waters. This ain't doing us no good. They came dropping to the leader. They came dropping and murmuring to the man of God. Amen. What are we going to do? Moses didn't hold a big convention. mentioned, but Moses didn't hold a business meeting. Moses didn't gather all the elders together and say, how are we going to handle this? Moses went to God and said, God, this is your people. God, amen, I'm in the middle of your work. You told me to go down and get them and take them up to Israel land, to the land flowing with milk and honey. And here I am. The water's dried up. The water's bitter. And I don't know what to do. It's your people, God, and it's your problem. What are you going to do about it? That's how you better face it. You better take it to God and say, God, I didn't ask for this. God, I don't understand why I'm here. But Lord, if you'll come by, you can help me in the midst of this bitter place.
Woo! Oh, yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
Moses didn't panic.
He didn't resign. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they get in the middle of it, boy, they're ready to quit.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah. I've been around church long enough. You get people in the right place, they say, I'm done. I quit.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. You get a mom and a dad in the middle of a hardship raising a family, you know, it's hard to raise a family. A lot of men mostly will say, I'm done. I quit. Hallelujah. Moses didn't quit. Oh, no. He knew where to find help. David knew where he could go. God, he said, is our refuge, our strength,
yeah,
and a very present help in trouble. Amen. Oh, I come to tell us he is our help in the midst of trouble. Amen. Hannah, what about Hannah? Amen. I got to move on here. Amen. The mother of Samuel had an experience of bitterness. She had, amen, long been childless. She was ridiculed for being unfortunate. The Bible said that her adversary provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had set up her wound. What are you going to do about it, Hannah? She went to the house of God and she stormed to heaven, and God met her and handled her problem. Hey, God. And here's what the Bible said. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord until she wept sore. And she said, God, you set up my wound, and I'm bitter. Amen. And you know what God did? God answered Hannah's prayer. And I come to tell us, if you take it to the Lord, I believe you can do something about your tomorrow. If you take it to the Lord, I believe he can handle your bitterness. But you got to take it to God.
You're right.
Amen.
You're right.
Let me tell you something. You can't handle things like this.
No.
Right.
Woo! Oh, God.
If you sit around and try to understand everything about life, it'll drive you crazy.
Right. It'll do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Why some people make all kinds of money and seem like things go great, while other people barely get along?
Yeah.
Why do some people healthy and wealthy, health every day, get up, man, they ain't sick till they get 90 years old, croak over and die somewhere on a golf course? Why is all that happening? I don't know. But I've determined in my mind, Brother George, I can't figure it out. I can't understand everything of life. There's only one thing I can do. I can handle the hand I've been dealt. That's all you can do, church. You can only do something with what you got in your hand. You can't spend life worrying about everything and everybody and why things. Great God, you got to take it to the Lord.
Amen.
Woo. All right.
Amen. Jesus.
Oh, I'm done. Hezekiah. I got so much here. Hezekiah. Amen. One of the good kings of Judah had an experience of bitterness. Look this up later. I'm going to get into this. I ain't got time. But a crushing military allegiance came against God and God's army,
yep,
and staged himself in front of Jerusalem to erase the tiny kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah said, look it up later, 2 Kings, I had it marked, I was going to read you something. I'm just going to tell you and move on. Hezekiah came to the Lord, 2 Kings 19:3, and he said, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come. Amen. He said, there is not enough strength to bring forth, God. If you don't do something, something, Judah's going to be gone. If you don't do something, amen, oh, this wicked king, amen, is going to take us under. What did Hezekiah do? He took the ultimatum, handed him, amen, by the invader, demanding, amen, surrender. Surrender, Hezekiah, or we're going to wipe you off the face of the map. Hezekiah, look, verse 14 in that same chapter. Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord, and he spread the letter from the enemy before God. Did it work? Amen. 1,000 times, yes. Isaiah the preacher brought him a message. Amen. Later down there, verses 32 through 36, amen, the preacher brought him the message, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the Assyrians, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow in there, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it, for I will defend the city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Listen to this. And the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men. Great God. Hezekiah said, God, I'm bitter. I will bear before the Lord. The enemy said, he's going to wipe us out. Lord, what are you going to do about it? God said, I'm going to fight for Israel. I'm going to stand with my I come to tell us, God will stand with you.
Y'all did it.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Had a little more than I thought. I got to move on here.
He'll do it.
Daniel. What about Daniel? He took his petition before the Lord, and God moved.
Yes, yes.
Woo! I ain't got time to preach there. What about Peter? Amen. Peter was over there. Herod had him locked up, was getting ready to take his head off and kill him the next day.
Yeah.
Amen. But you know what happened? Amen. When a bitter trial comes, you start praying. Woo! Amen. And the Bible said, and the church was praying for Peter without ceasing. Amen. I come to tell you, prayer works. Hallelujah. But you got to pray a little bit more. Amen. Then you scroll. Hallelujah. You got to pray a little bit more. Then you get engulfed with the cares and the affairs of life. I get so, amen, bum-puzzled when people sit back and say, God don't do what he used to do. Amen. That's 1,000 times wrong. God's still powerful. God still can move. God still can heal. He can still pour out revival. But the question is, how hungry are you? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you begging God to move?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Guess what? I ain't got time to preach all this out. I know you're hungry, and I am too.
Bless you, Lord.
Sister Peggy, they prayed until Peter, amen, an angel come over there, kicked him in the side, said, get up, Peter, bind on thy sandals.
Yeah.
Peter got up. Amen. This is the first automatic door, long before Walmart ever had doors.
Right.
And he came, what was it, to the second ward. And the Bible said, and the gates opened. But Peter walked out there. Amen. That sensor clicked the light, and the gate opened up. And Peter walked out. Amen. Great God in heaven. And he went over and started knocking on the door. And a young woman came. Her name was Rhoda. And Rhoda, amen, opened the door. And there, lo and behold, Peter stood at the door. She got so excited, she slammed the door and went in there and said, hey, guys, get up. Peter's here. Amen. They were praying for God to move. But guess what? They didn't believe her. Sometimes we don't believe what we're praying for. They said, Rhoda, you're mad. You've lost your mind. But she said, no, Peter's at the door. And they went out there, and great God, they had a holiness hold down. They shouted up and down the streets. They turned that house into a camp meeting. And you know what? God moved. And I come to tell us here today, God will move for you.
Glory.
Well, I can tell you're done.
Glory. Holy, holy, holy.
Last, I got to get my 4-point. I don't want to make it Much worse sermons out of this one right here.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
This is what I've had on my heart. Lastly, amen, the tree turned to bitter water sweet.
Yes, it did. Yes.
There's a time I need to get into this, but listen, and I'm going to let you eat chicken. There's one tree alone on earth that bears more precious, amen, more satisfying, and more efficient than any other. Amen. That tree is the old rugged cross.
Thank God.
And its fruit is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Listen to this. Jeremiah 23:5 said, amen, that it's a righteous branch. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2:24, amen, that Christ bear our sins on his own, in his own body, on a tree. Thank God for the tree that'll make bitter water sweet. I long, amen, oh yes, for the time that I can get rid of bitterness. Find some place quickly where you can be alone with the Lord and pour out your sorrow like Hannah did. Pour out your sorrow like Hezekiah did. Pour out your sorrow like the church did for Peter. Amen. Pour out your sorrow like Daniel did. And guess what? That tree will make bitter water sweet. Jesus Christ has a way of making bitter sweet again.
Yes, he does. Woo! Glory. Yes, Lord.
I'm done. Somebody help me up here. Close the door. Get on your knees. Pour it all out before God.
Yes, God.
Tell Jesus what a hard time you're having.
Bless.
Tell Jesus.
The Lord.
Amen. How you been? Feel like life has dished you the wrong hand. I believe you'll listen.
He will.
Yeah, I don't believe you'll listen.
Thank you, Lord.
When you allow your life to be involved with Christ, it makes sense. Without him, there's nothing to drink. No satisfaction, no victory. No. Face the tree, ma'am. Face the tree, sir.
Yes, sir.
And you'll see that he cares about you.
Yeah.
That tree is the turning point of history. Without it, this planet would be chaos. The tree brings a sweetness in history, amen, which has supported the pilgrimage of every generation from eternity to eternity. Thank God for that tree, Jesus Christ. Woo! I may get into this a little further, amen, but I want to leave you with this while they get us a song. Amen. Naomi, remember Naomi? She said, call me not no more Naomi, but call me Mara. Remember that? For she said, the Lord hath dealt bitterly. Amen. The Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Thank God. What about Job? Amen. Job had the bitter trials of life turned against him. Amen. What about Mordecai? Esther 4:1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes and he went into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry. Mordecai was bitter and he said, God, why?
Oh, God.
Yes.
My Lord.
God allowed. Here's my ending, and I'm going to ask us to pray. God allowed all these difficult times to show himself strong.
Right.
To his own people.
Right. Sir.
Right.
He wanted to bring out the best in them and show the best in himself.
Right.
God operates the best when you're in the middle of the struggle.
Right. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Your disappointments are God's appointments for a blessing in your life.
Yes.
Woo! Amen. John Bunyan wrote to Pilgrim's Progress why he was in jail.
Sure did.
Did you know the Pauline epistles Paul wrote? What was it? 13, possibly 14 books of the New Testament. Paul wrote those, almost every one of them, why he was in prison.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
Amen. Why?
Thank you, Lord.
Because the struggle and hardships, amen, is our disappointment, but it brings the appointment of God in our life.
Yes. Yes.
Woo! Semi-paralyzed and under a constant, amen, trouble, Pasteur was tirelessly in his attack of his disease. Listen to this. I want to read you this. During a the greater part of his life, American historian Francis Parkman suffered, amen, so acutely that he could not work for much more than 5 minutes at a time. His eyesight was so wretched that he could only, amen, scrawl only a few gigantic words on a manuscript, yet contrived to write 20 magnificent volumes of history. Amen. All of these times of adversity lead us to the blessings of God.
Amen.
Brother Daniel, I'm going to leave you this. Brother Daniel mentioned Thursday night, and I looked this up. FDR, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Remember him?
Yeah.
FDR. He contracted polio. Brother Daniel talked a moment about this. I want you to look at this. He got polio. Amen. Then he was elected president of the United States of America. And you're talking about a man in the most critical time in American history. Coming out of the Great Depression, he was elected president. What was it, 32 or 33? It was right in the midst of the Depression days in this country. Right in the midst of hardship. Amen. And yet we have a president bound to a wheelchair, suffering the hardships of his life. Come on now. And you know what happened? God took a man in the midst of his hardship, and he rose a nation in the midst of their hardship. God can and knows how to work in the midst of hard trials. Amen. And I read historians, they debate in different numbers, but they claim that the greatest presidents that ever served in this country, amen, was Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and FDR. Woo! Amen. A man that couldn't even walk. A man, amen, that couldn't even get up out of a wheelchair. Polio had crippled his body. It had paralyzed him. But yet a nation in the midst of going under in the Depression, World War II on the horizon, but God took a man that was bitter. God took a man that was in the low place of life and raised him up and raised a nation out of depression. Great God, I come to tell us God's got a way of moving, amen, in the banks of Mara.
Yes.
Woo.
Woo. Thank you, Lord.
Have him in this house.
Yes, he does.
I didn't intend to keep you this long. I would never preach this if I didn't feel like it. We're going to have chicken over next door. I want everybody to come. It's already dried up and sunned up. Man, but George, man, you're going to be able to beat up Brother Earl game or two here in a minute. But before we get there, we got a serious endeavor to cross right here. Hey, I love you. I really do.
Come on.
I love preaching. I really do. I love preaching the gospel.
Thank you.
I feel like there's something very serious in this service tonight, today here. Are you fighting bitterness? Are you at the banks of Mara? And the enemy says just go in the town, quit, just give up. Life ain't never going to be no better. They ain't never going to get out of this rut. That's what he told Hannah. That's what he told Daniel. That's what he told Hezekiah. That's what he told Mordecai. That's what he told Peter while he locked up in prison. That's what he told Paul when he bore the thorn in his flesh. I come to tell somebody right here today, I believe God will meet you on the banks of Mara. Lord, help me right here. God, I need your help. Hallelujah. I believe he wants to meet you on the banks of Mara. I know it's getting late, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and call us in this altar right here. Who would be man enough, woman enough, boy enough, girl enough to step out and get in this altar? If this altar fills up, let's use these front seats for altars and say, God, I'm going to hammer this away until I get this out.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother George, for having courage. Thank you, Brother Anthony. We need some people filling these altars. We need some people up here getting serious with God. We need some people getting serious in their heart. Oh, God, I'm at the banks of Mara. God, I'm at the banks here. Amen. Between bitterness, amen, life and death. Oh, God, I don't want to get bitter. Come on, come on, come on, come on. God, God's going to help you up here. I believe God will help you up here. If you'll be honest with your heart, if you'll be honest with yourself, and say, God, I need your help today.